Hey, what's up, folks, and welcome to another episode of Debate Escape. I am your host, Beastly Bader. Today, I am joined by two contestants from the popular Bade-Off series, a series about masturbation, brought to you by BaderWorld.com. I'm wishing you all a happy Pride Month. Please stay safe, stay festive, and enjoy the episode. Just saw the last episode of the Bait Off with the Milk Yourself, which is the one that I was personally looking forward to because I like to see everything. Yeah. I just saw a lot of butt cheeks and butthole and like taints and nut sacks, and that was really nice. How are you all feeling about the Bait Off so far? It's really fun.
Girlfriend, yeah. You want to go first?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so much fun. It's like so interesting to like how all the different baiters respond to each of the challenges. Cause like when you're making something right, you put an intention into it and you think it's going to get a certain effect, but it's interesting like how that kind of unfolds like across the community in different ways. And like, it's interesting like what touches people like the most deeply, you know, cause usually the little things.
I'd say it's going pretty well for me too. The milking challenge actually, funny enough, was like the hardest one for me. Cause I have like an issue with my spine where it's like kind of, I'm not super flexible, it's like a hereditary thing, but it was interesting because it's not something I would normally do, but I also think it would be easier if I had someone there like milking me. I think specifically for me it's the like me bending myself that way and being like, oh god, okay. And I think I was the only one who didn't come in that challenge because it was so like, I was just kind of like, okay, let's do this and let's try it. And you know, not everything's for everybody, but it was fun.
Yeah, so much of that challenge was just finding the right position and like, oh, is this comfortable? No, but we're gonna make it work, I guess.
Yeah, yours was really cool too. We were all during the live stream, we were all enamored watching the intro, how it was just the shadow. It was so like artistic and evocative and innovative. I was like really into it. It was really cool. Everybody was.
That's what I, yeah, so that's why like I get the most from your girlfriend's videos. They're so artsy, they're so like creatively designed. I really appreciate that. It's really fun stuff to see you all just kind of like interpret the challenge how you would see fit, and they're so uniquely your own, which I think is so spectacular. And I think that's so great about like just masturbation in general, like you can just make it your own, like it doesn't have to be this like formulaic thing, it just whatever comes naturally, which has been really nice to watch. I missed that session. I think I was really high or eating something, I don't know what it was. But I never watched it when it premieres. I only watch it when we have the Zooming party because I just feel like it's like going to the theater, like watching it all together, yeah. And having that reaction. It's been really nice. What's been the feedback for you all from like baiters? Are baiters like approaching you and being like, great jobs?
So for me, at least, I get a lot of people that like, even on Scruff and Grindr from like miles and miles. I had a guy from Australia find my Scruff and be like, yo, bro, I'm so fucking hyped for you. Like, I can't wait for this to air and to watch it and, you know, do whatever I'm going to do with you. And I was like, oh, yeah. Like, hell yeah, man. Thanks so much. It's crazy. Like, I do feel like a little like niche micro celebrity in my own little way. But I'm always super appreciative of it, too, because it's not something I'm used to. Like, definitely it happened on Twitter, but now it's like happening outside of Twitter. It's really, yeah, cool.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, I'm totally getting that same kind of response where just like people on Sniffies or Scruff like reach out to me, even like people that like I've known for years are like, hey, love your Bait Off, and I'm like, oh, I didn't even know you were one of us. Oh.
Yeah. I've had people that I didn't know were baiters, or like, even it's interesting because doing like pup stuff, I get like, I do like some stuff with furries here and there, but I have like them reaching out and being like, oh yeah, I fucking love, I'm like, I didn't know you were a baiter too. Like, holy crap, that's so cool.
You're doing like baiters work. You're just like bringing the joy of masturbation to everybody. That's so great. I love that. I'm excited for the rest of the challenges going to come out for the rest of the, I think for the month of June, I think.
Yeah, the toy one just released today.
Yeah, the toy one. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. Yeah, by the way, happy Pride Month.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
How do you all celebrate? I'm looking forward to it. You know what? I haven't been to a Pride in forever, and it's something that I've wanted to do for a really long time. Mm-hmm. I just want to like go and like have fun and like get litty.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I mean, Pride for me, so like, I have a background in a lot of like direct action and like street based organizing stuff, I was a street medic for a while, so I don't know. I feel like Pride is always an opportunity for me to sort of go back to like go to like a protest, like go out in the streets. Like last year, I was lucky enough to go to the drag march in New York, which is like so crazy, so beautiful because it's like everyone in all their looks, and it's like it's not like a permitted march. It's just everyone showing up and like walking through the streets, and everyone has to deal with it.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Arf, that's really fucking cool. For me, it's I'm hosting our, the like Phoenix's first bait event. Actually, I'm scheduling it with the local pup and handler community and the local leather community. They all like have been super supportive of me here in Phoenix because Phoenix is the largest city in the U.S. that doesn't have like an organized baiter group or culture. Really, like there's one in Seattle, there's one in Chicago, there's one in New York. You know. Like they all have one. Phoenix is the largest city that doesn't have one. So I was like, okay, we're going to start this for Pride Month this year. Cause it's like, if I'm taking off and I'm getting recognition for doing this, then like it's time. And I've had like a huge outpouring of support for it from like the people who do Bader Balm, all the local community members, all that kind of stuff. So it's been super fun, but that's how I'm celebrating Pride is starting a Phoenix bait group.
That's amazing. I feel like we needed more now than ever for sure. Like I was just like going on Instagram and I was like, reading Twitter news and I was like, god damn, like we're constantly under attack, like it's just like never ending and you just kind of have to like step away and kind of do what you kind of do and mobilize, which is why I continue to do this. And I don't know, I feel like everything that we do as a community is just so revolutionary. It's so needed at this time, like we just need visibility, like no matter where it's coming from. I just feel like you need to like be out there in your faces. For me, the gay agenda is very real. It's about like community and like advocating for like marginalized spaces and like really like understanding the need for those things to continuously be around, because it's fucking scary. People are scary.
Yeah, I think there's also a big need for education, even inside like specifically our community, the Bader and Gunnar community. That's why I reached out for another group that does like YouTube videos talking about like educational kink stuff. And they did a video on baiting and gooning. And so like I reached out and was like, here's a bunch of info on it if you want to use it. They used some of it. They didn't like quote me by name or anything. I wasn't like, you know, it was just like, you know, if you're going to teach people about this, I want you to give them the right information. Especially when there's a lot of stuff in the community that's kind of like on the surface level, it's very cool and fun. And like there's a growing brotherhood of people that are all really into this, you know, shared masturbatory experience. But then there's like another side to it that's like kind of, it takes like humiliation and degradation to an extreme that I'm not super fond of. And I'm like, you can do that as a form of kink, but like there's, especially as someone who has practice in like kink and leather communities, it's like facilitating a headspace and a fantasy, not a reality. You're not actually trying to ruin people's lives. And I see a lot of that in the like Bader stuff that I'm like, it makes me a little worried here and there. So I'm like, that's why I like the educational aspect of things.
But that's so interesting. Like, but how are you seeing that in the community?
Oh god. There's like a lot of very like, I don't want to, they're very like right wing ish propaganda esque stuff.
Got the MAGA gooners, we've seen them. We've seen those MAGA gooners.
Oh, we've
and
seen
that's
it,
the
yeah.
thing. Is there are people who have entered the Bader community through this like loser Bader type stuff, right? And like, I'm sure you guys are familiar with that. The whole humiliation aspect of it. And like, I'm all for that. You know, if you wanna have some humiliation and degradation play in your kink, that's totally fine. But you need to have like people who are being doms in that regard, that are doing it the right way, that are facilitating a headspace, not being like, hey, toss out your meds, stop having friends, stop talking to your family. I'm like, don't, what? What? Yeah. Like, I panic and I'm like, no, that's the opposite of what healthy kink is.
Yeah. I feel like the most, like, I guess I'll say, like, powerful kinksters or headspace fillers I meet, like, really treat that as like healing work, right? Because like a lot of times we go into kink or attracted to certain kinks because like there's something inside us we want to delve deeper into or explore or experience. There's a big responsibility there, and like just like not treating that as like deep work kind of leads us to these troublesome or more problematic like situations, right, where people are like, oh, like ruin your life because it's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, people also do it for the income of it too. They treat it solely as like a, this is how I can make money. And I'm like, that's really exploitative and kind of gross. Like, I can't speak for everyone, but like, yeah. I personally do it for the community, you know, like I like that there are people who connect with me and like what I like. I'm not here to drain a bunch of fin subs of all their money. That there's anything, you know, there's a right way to do that, but
yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I was like, what's your opinion about, is it findom?
Yeah. Findom.
I was having a conversation with a friend and they were just like, I don't fucking get it. And I was like, I don't know. It's a kink. I don't know. People want to give money for whatever reason. But I think the conversation turning was like problematic, I think, towards the end. But I was just like, listen, to each their own. I don't really, I don't engage in that. Like, I know there's people that are just like flipping off the camera and like degrading you. I just don't find that. That doesn't get my dick hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, interestingly enough, there's an interplay between that and like the Bader and Gunnar stuff, because usually it's all digital. I mean, we live in a modern digital internet age, right? So it's very easy to just make a Twitter account and be like, I'm a findom now, give me your money, fuck you. You know, but like specifically there's like a very nuanced way to do it correctly, where like, if it's not necessarily about the financial, like, you're not trying to make money if you're doing that the right way. You're doing it because it's like, even if it's a dollar, it's like there's some level of I'm controlling you here. That's more what it's about. Not necessarily the get rich quick scheme of it all. But I think not many people know that, especially the younger findoms just kind of come in and expect to be able to show up and make loads of money. And I'm like, that's not super nice.
No, it's not. You're right.
Right, there's an ethos to it. There's like ethics to all this, right? There's an ethics to this kind of
thing. Definitely, like, kink ethics. Well, I really liked your Milky Challenge girlfriend, because it, like, the whole point of it was you talking throughout it and being like, this is how I alleviated my own shame, this is how I healed myself. And I was like, that's essentially what the whole point of all this is, you know.
I like the mirror beat one, when you were like being so honest about looking yourself at your body in the mirror and not really liking what you're seeing. And so you kind of like overcame that shame and that guilt and just really admired who you were. And because you're not female presenting, I think people can get that misconception of like, are they really? Like, what is this about? It's just like, well, do you get a lot of that in the community? Like, do you get a lot of like questions, or do people ask, inquire?
Yeah, people are definitely curious, especially like, I don't know, there's like a lot of people who enter the Bader community who like are on their own journey themselves of like exploring their own queerness and gender stuff. And like, I think baiting stuff is a really big like doorway for people to like go deeper into stuff, because it's like, it's both the kinkiest thing and the most vanilla thing. Yeah, people get questions, and you know, you have to kind of, as like me in that side of things, like I'm always just trying to like share my own experience, my own journey, and just like answer questions simply and honestly. But honestly, like, I'm always surprised by like how little I have to do that in the debater community. Like, I don't know, I've been like around like leather spaces and like other like queer gay spaces, and like I've heard everything. I've heard every kind of reaction to what I'm doing, and like, I'm always surprised when like the baiters are just like, I get it. You go.
Yeah. I just feel like pup play a lot too.
That's so funny. I just recently got into pup play. I'm talking to this pup, and I've never really been into pup play. Like, and I started getting to like the, I don't know what you would call like the animations and the cartoons. Is there like a name for that? Like that sort of material?
Yeah, just art. Yeah.
Just art. And so we'll just like start trading each other like these puppy, like these sex puppy gifts. And I was just like, this is really hot. And then at one point it got into just like MPEG play.
I saw that tweet.
Yeah. Which I think that I discovered it in the past and I was kind of like wary of it. But then it was just so like, I don't know. I just been so, well, back to what your girlfriend was saying, how like baiters get it. And I just feel like our community is just so open to like all these different nuances and sexuality, because it's just like we mostly just playing with ourselves in our minds, right? Where we're just like kind of make that connection. So I always find that really interesting when baiters are just like, yeah, we get it, we know what's up.
Arf. I think she made a really good point too, saying that like it's somehow super vanilla, but not, because it's physically pretty vanilla to be like just, you know, masturbating and that's your whole kink. But because it's so vanilla on the surface, there's a deeper level to like the mental aspect of it. And art specifically kind of has the advantage of being like, you can make it as fantastical as you want, you know, like Empreg stuff, like tentacles, like whatever else you can, hypnosis, mind control. I could laundry list for 18 years about how many like art specific kinks you can have that you could never do in real life. Muscle growth, like all this other kind of crazy stuff. But it's so cool because there are, will always be a community of people around who like just likes that stuff, that just gets it, you know. I think that's really cool.
Cause I feel like that kind of material is so fantastical and like so non-reality that it just makes it so extreme. And I think to me that's the turn on, like I could, you know, like that I can never do these things, but in my mind it's like the most filthiest place that exists in the world, which I really appreciate. And so I'm continuously getting, you know, talking to baiters and, you know, trying to figure out what their kinks are, because I love learning about like different people's hell's head space, like puppy space and puppy play, like that's so new to me. And it's so like, I just recently bought a pup mask for the first time.
Yeah, a hood. We call them hoods, but yeah,
hoods. Thank you. I just recently bought a hood, and it was like one of the coolest purchases I ever made. I don't wear it as often, but the other day I was wearing it when I was masturbating. It was really fun.
Nerf. Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. I get it kind of on the same level that your girlfriend gets the questions about like gender identity in relation to like their baiter like persona. I get a lot of stuff with the pup play kind of thing, and funny enough, one of the most common things I get is like, are you actually into like real canines? And I'm like, no, it's a headspace, honey, it's a headspace. And not all of them are looking to like, it's more just a curiosity thing. I think they're like, so how does all this work, explain this to me. And then some people are just like immediately into it. They're just like, oh yeah, I totally get it. And it's always surprising. I'm like, even if they're not into pup play, they're just like, yeah, let's go. I like this. And I'm like, that always makes me feel really good.
Are you into pup play, girlfriend?
I don't know. I've definitely played around with it and had some fun scenes, but I think for me, like, I just like enjoy transformation, right? So like, yeah, like pup falls under that umbrella, but like I love putting on like lots of weird looks for like sexy times. So for me, it's just like they're all kind of the same because they're all lots of fun. So like whether I'm like in a leather daddy drag, or I'm like wearing like a crazy like mask I made myself, or I'm like a clown, like it's just like
I was gonna say clown gooning.
Yeah, yeah, it's like I don't know. It's all just like ways to like explore these different facets of myself, I guess.
What are you inspired? Well, I'm curious, like, what are you inspired by? What are you looking at? What's the art?
Oh, like, like, where I kind of get
these where are you referencing from? Like, who are you following?
I don't know. I mean, with the clown stuff, I don't really see that much of it. I just kind of make it, and like, it's sort of like, yeah. Okay, so I guess I was inspired because I was in like a clown like school program recently, and we were playing this improv game where it's like, the game is one person plays the teacher and everyone else is like the students, right? And the teacher's like, okay, like be in here and like don't say any bad words while I leave the room, okay? And then you're all like, yeah. So then all the clowns like in the class have to like say bad words and then like just like make a scene out of that and like make it funny. So I'm in this like clown class with all these like straight theater bros, and they're all just like, dong. And like they literally just like start gooning but don't have a reference for what that is.
That's always the best.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, this is like so hot, and I can't really go into that right now, but you know, this is something I've talked about with other gooners like after play. I love to go into the bait theory of it all when I like meet someone who can like chat like that. And like, I don't know, I feel like clown is all about you're creating this mask so that you can reveal something deeper about like what you're feeling or want to express, right? And I feel like gooning is kind of that way too, only the mask is like your own face.
I totally agree with that, actually. And something I've explained, one of the tools I've used to explain it to people is like, there's a level of when you're putting a mask on, something inside your brain that's mask, that like the mask comes off because you have that level of like, it's a weird like paradoxical self-acceptance thing where just like you feel more yourself when you're kind of like anonymity on the internet, right? People will just kind of like when they feel like no one knows who you are, they'll say what they really think. It's sort of the same type of thing. You don't always need a physical mask to do that. Sometimes it's something like gooning. But it is very interesting the way that it allows you to like accept yourself for who you are.
Yeah, because I feel like you really tap into something more visceral, like really deep inside you. And I can remember the first time it ever happened, it freaked me out because I was just like, whoa, like, where did this even come from? And I just feel like we all inhabit it and we all reach it in different stages. And you know, that's why I always say like, it's such a journey, it ebbs and flows and people always have like those connections and people will have certain moments in their life that stand out as like these key moments for them on their like masturbator solo sexual journey. And I'm just like, yeah, just keep on trucking.
The bait off is definitely a big part of mine, honestly.
You're gonna find it eventually. Same. Was this the first time you participated like in a big kind of like a showcase with a wider audience?
For me, yes. Like,
yeah,
for me too. Yeah, like I hadn't really done any video editing really before this, so like I feel like each of the challenges I get more myself because I'm like I'm gaining the skills and like learning how to better express myself through this media, right? So
for sure,
it's really cool. I definitely like there were definitely moments too where like I feel like for me going through this process, like I had to grapple with like, oh, this is going to be seen by a lot of people, like how do I really want to be seen, and like how do I really disarm myself or like stop being so defensive about like that thought of being seen and like make it something more like exciting and like make it like a beautiful thing.
That's really pretty. I like the way you put that, Arf. I think for me a big part of it was the audience size, which is much larger, was definitely a big factor in it for me. I'm just kind of like anxious a little bit at the start of it, like how are people going to interpret me, you know, are they going to be into the pup play thing? And I do think there's a level of like it, I am fully willing to accept that not everyone is going to like it from the onset just because there's a pup play element to it. Some people just don't like that, and that's something I kind of just had to like accept that I didn't really have to encounter before, because the whole point before this was just sort of building a niche community to get pups into the beta community, to explain it to them, to explain it to furries, to and there were some people still that were like baiters that were reaching out that were interested in pup play, but it wasn't like being forced in the face of people who like just weren't into it. So this is kind of an interesting situation where I've kind of had to combat my own anxiety a little bit about it and just be like, yeah, you know what, that's fine, you don't have to like it, I don't have to change myself for you either, you know.
No, that's true. I just find it really, I would think it's a very vulnerable space. You know, you're not only are you nude presenting to the world, but you're also giving people insight into how you masturbate and how you really attune to your body and really make love to it and pleasure yourself. And that's always such a private space for a lot of people. So it's like a window into who you people are as sexual beings. And I was just like, oh, that's really sexy. Because it's so different from like each person. And you're just like, oh, like you can find a little bit in yourself in each. And I think this cast has been so diverse in that. It's been really great to watch you all just like bust nuts.
I think it's been really, really cool to see all the other contestants do what they're doing, because for me, one of the most attractive things as someone who is confident and comfortable, like exposing who they are to the world in like a super confident way. So the more people are capable of doing that, the more turned on I get. And I'm like, hell yeah, like that, let's fucking go.
Absolutely. And like, even someone like me who's been doing this for a couple of years, like I'm still continuously learning. I love to learn. Like I love to just like learn what the new thing is. And continue to like inspire myself through you all, which has been really great. What's the community like in Chicago?
Yeah, in Chicago, I honestly like haven't been too plugged into like beta stuff just because it's not super regular and scheduling is crazy. I will say like there's definitely a lot of betas here, and like, you know, Chicago, we're gearing up for IML weekend, so Chicago year-round has a lot of kinksters and a lot of people doing all sorts of play that are definitely, I feel like, the centering around like leather kind of stuff,
yeah,
and like those traditions. But Yeah, I don't know. I feel like in every city, like, there's definitely like a very unique Bader culture, because like the Bader culture in Chicago is so different from the one in New York, which I've like had spent a lot of time in, or in Pittsburgh too. And I feel like here it's like so like the city's so spread out, so I feel like people you kind of have like your bros in your neighborhood, but the other ones you don't really see.
Yeah, I feel like it's the same way in LA. Like it's really big. There is a pretty big Bader community here in LA. Like even if they don't self-identify, they're always curious. They constantly get asked, like, what is Bader? What is soul sexual? What's it like in, well, you were talking a little bit about in Phoenix, right? How
In
like there's
Phoenix.
not a really big one.
Yeah, it's not that there's not a big one, it's just that it's just not organized. So there's a lot of people that are Baders, but they're like, it's kind of like what she said about like it's very like in your neighborhood kind of a thing. You'll be closer to people that are close to you in proximity, and you'll kind of develop like little communities. There'll be like lots of little circle jerks that are kind of just like friend of a friend type deals. But there's not like a club that you can go to that there's like a bait club like every Friday. You know, something like New York would have where there are like bars that have specific like bait events or, you know, bathhouses or sex clubs or whatever else. I'm curious though what your guys' experience is like teaching people about Bader culture, especially if it's like an in-person meet, because that's something I get a lot here in Phoenix, is people that are like, oh, I've heard about this, but like, can you like coach me? Can you teach me how to be a Bader? Like the phrase teach me how to be a Bader is always such kind of like a cumbersome thing to think about, because I'm like, I don't, how do I teach someone how to do all this? Like
How I've kind of introduced it to people who like have really ran with it is you kind of just like introduce something that they're already kind of doing, and then just talk about like the ways they could take it in like a different direction, right? So like I have a lover who like was definitely Bader curious for a long time, and then I just sort of like, oh well, like here's how I do that. Here's like the sort of scenes like I like to get into. Like I've never didn't really get into the coaching. We definitely like played around, and I kind of like introduced more of like the Bader specific play stuff, like slowly. But then it's like, I don't know, people like if it sparks something in them, like they're gonna chase after more, right? Like
Yeah,
it
you
was
just find something
crazy.
that speaks to them.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it too. Like I feel like if I do get contacted about, you know, what's a Bader, I'll usually give them like a definition, and then they're just like, oh, I love to masturbate. I'm like, okay, cool, let's keep talking about that. And so then that conversation will evolve, and it'll just be like, well, how often do you do it, and where are you doing it, and what are you looking at? And so then that kind of evolves into sexting dick pics, and so that becomes what that is, and then they're in it, and then they're still trying to figure out how to be it, but I'm just like, you're it, like this is it, like there's you're already enmeshed in it, and they're just like always, so it's like I'm confused, and I'm just like, keep doing this thing and you're gonna eventually find out. And then, you know, I point them to resources like Beat World, and I'll also point them to people like y'all. I'll just be like, hey, follow this person, or if you're on social. I think most often than not, people are into it. They just don't have a community. And again, it's just providing them the resources of different outlets, like new Tumblr, or I don't know where else you're getting your beta material, but those are like the major sources that I point people to.
Yeah, I tend to, if it kind of depends on like it depends on the age of the person too for me, because it's like if they're an older person, I'm usually trying to show them like Bait World, or I'm trying to show them like other in-person like local groups, like friend of a friend. I'll introduce them to someone and be like, hey, go meet up with this guy, he's really cool and he's probably pretty your speed. If they're like a younger person, I'll take them to sites like E621 for like the art and the furry porn side of things. I'll take them to Discord and be like, show them all these groups there that they have like big video circle jerks and things like that, or you know, stuff like that. But when someone is curious about what it is on the whole, like they're brand new to it, I usually have to explain it to them without just giving like straight up definitions. I'm like, well, it has a lot to do with masturbation. There's a little bit of edging involved. It's mostly about the headspace though. Like you want to get into this uninhibited, like not performative, but like whatever the opposite of that would be that I can't think of the word of right now, but it's very like you're showing your real self to someone else through masturbation. That like uninhibited, just pure pleasure, you know, that's usually what gets it to click for people. So like, oh, okay. So it's like showing them exactly what I would do when I'm alone, like, but just totally being comfortable with them without, because you know, when you especially when you're younger, I feel like there's a moment where you're like, you start to masturbate and you're like, oh, people might think this is weird, or I like this specific thing that people might think is weird. And you sort of isolate that part of yourself, and being a beta or a gooner and that kind of thing is essentially cracking down that wall and being like, okay, I'm going to show this to people now, you know, and being okay with that.
Yeah.
Expose the goon.
Exactly. It's, well, I really like the word expose for it, because it is so like, the negative connotation of the word expose aside, it's very like, it's exposure. You're giving yourself the exposure and giving other people the exposure of you. You know, it's a two-way street.
Yeah, I agree.
As far as resources I've directed to people in the past, for my birthday this last year, my spouse got me a present, and it was that zine Sensitive Content, where JV Marks made that gooning essay.
Oh yeah.
And
I like him, he's cool.
They like read it and were like, oh baby, I finally get this whole Gooner Vader stuff. So I have sent that to people like after the fact. I'm like, oh, I guess this does a good job at like explaining the whole stuff in a way people
understand. Nice.
But I it was really funny. I felt like very like, oh baby, that's so cute.
It's very thoughtful.
It is thoughtful. That's nice. There's also publications like I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead.
I was gonna say like publications like Butt Magazine. Where's the other one? It was HJ Mag that I just got into, like all that incest like porn, which is always fun. I used to have a lot of shame about that, but I'm just like, yeah.
Oh, whatever. Hey, I've got a dad son kink. I wear that shit on my sleeve.
Well, now I do. Like, I just feel like it's like this thing, especially now that I'm older. I feel like I get that a lot. And it was just like dad plan. I'm just like, okay, cool. I'm just going to go with it. In the beginning, it was hard because it's just transition, but yeah. I feel like now it's just like, it totally gets me off. Like, that's the only play I want to do. I'm kidding.
It's weird being in my like 20s right now, because like I can't imagine 3 years ago people calling me daddy, but because of all this stuff that I do now, people call me daddy. I'm like, I'm 26. I don't know if I'm old enough to be your daddy, but I'm fantasy. Like, sure. I had a guy one time tell me he thought I was 43, and I'm like, I'm 26, please.
43? That's wild. No, you are not daddy. Like, anyone that's under 35 is not daddy. Like, it's very much an age thing.
It is.
Yeah. Which is good. I think you own it. And I look forward to it. I think there was a point in my life where I was like, I never thought I'd be this age. Then you get there, you're just like, what am I doing? And then you just kind of like figure it out. You're just like, it's the truth is, when people say like no one has it figured out, that is a real thing. Like, no matter how old you get or what position or what fucking education you have, you're fucking winging it. So I take pride in that, because it keeps me sane. I'm just like, okay, I don't have to do this perfectly. I can just kind of like wing it and hopefully people vibe.
I think part of it for me was just like always being called mature for my age, and like the way that I speak is pretty, I'm very like calculated and articulate, and I try to always say exactly what I mean, how I meant it. And I think people interpret, like, especially with the beta stuff, my like verbal styling can be pretty domineering and alpha, which in pup means something different, but like I think people are just kind of drawn to that. And so I usually prefer the term alpha to daddy, because I'm like, I'm not old enough to be your daddy, but I will be your alpha. And just kind of coach them through things, and you know, people like the hypnotic kind of tone of my voice, I guess.
I guess that's an interesting question. So like in pup play, like, does age play a part in who is alpha and who is sub, like who's dom and sub, or is it more of like a personality, like dominance?
Yeah, it's very much personality based. There is a whole ranking system. It's you have like alpha, beta, and then you even have ones like omega or delta. And there's a whole hierarchy there to it. And it changes too, depending on whether or not you're talking to someone that's like old guard or new guard, as to what all the roles mean. But it is very much personality based, and it can be personality or it can be kink, depending on the person. You know, it could just be a sexual thing. And so maybe they're like, in real life, they're very submissive, but in the bedroom, they're like domineering alpha mud, alpha pup energy. But I tend to be, as a beta, I tend to go with like delta, because the way I see it is like, I'm pretty like observational. Like, I'm totally down to watch a bunch of people fuck and just kind of sit on the sidelines and get pleasure from other people's pleasure. without the need to necessarily participate. But I also definitely have a little bit of an alpha side to me too, where I like want to be involved and be like, yeah, you suck his cock, you know, you do this, you do that, you do that. And like, you know, people respond well to that, especially when it's all the headspace is right and I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to do it.
I was gonna say, it's such a beta thing to say.
Yeah,
you sit on the sidelines and watch a bunch of people fuck.
Yeah, you're just like very apropos.
It's true. It's fun though. I love being a voyeur. Like, I just love watching people's sexuality. I think I'm there at that point. Like, I have my sex down so well, where I'm just like, I don't really need assistance, or I know where to get it. What turns me on though at this point in my life is watching others kind of like experiment, like these budding like baiters kind of like understanding their sexual power and like really reinforcing that it's beautiful and that it's so sexy and like show me how you bait. But you do give me like, you give me like really mature vibes for 26 for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up really quick, and when I went to college I was doing like AI research and development, so I'm like very well studied in a lot of very weird areas. So I tend to try to mask that a little bit with the dumb puppy stuff. I feel like sometimes it makes me a little more approachable when I'm like, oh, yeah, it's just dumb puppy. And then I come out and I'm like, yeah, I was building robots by the age of 11 that could like think for themselves. People are like, what?
Bust on the fucking keynote.
Yeah.
But I feel like you and girlfriend should get together, because girlfriend be doing like tracks and shit too, like music tracks, and like you have a background in that.
Yeah, I was telling Beastly that I've been doing music production since I was like 11, and I've produced some of the tracks in the background for like my JFF videos and stuff. I really like co-mixed media, so like, yeah, people who do like heavy audio vocal production, people who do heavy audio music production, good editing stuff, good photography stuff, like, and then can blend it all together like a cohesive, yeah. There's a German Gesamtkunstwerk. It's like a cohesive, it incorporates everything you can possibly do in one media piece and makes it like a grand opus thing. I love that, because I want to be like, it's like overstimulation, and I'm super into that specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can really take someone on a specific journey, right, when like you're kind of got all the different elements together.
Yeah, when you can control all five of someone's senses, you're like, yes, I got,
you're
you
in full control. Fuck, you're under my spell. But no, I was gonna say, because girlfriend does like, you do your own music for your videos, right? Like all the big tracks. And you shared some with me, and I'm just like, oh, this is so cool. But I was telling Bader Mutt that I really wanted to get more into music production and just have myself on a loop, say penis, and just have it be like this house music vibe. I find a lot of that stuff on SoundCloud, but I just want more consistent. Like,
yeah,
it's old. It's old music.
It is all there's not a lot of people who do like specifically modern product, like music production stuff, yeah, and bait tracks, and like fuse the two. So for me specifically, when I'm baiting and I'm really in the zone, I need like the right kind of porn. I need the right kind of music. I want the right kind of verbal. Like, I'm very particular about it, and I can match people on different levels if they like something different. But when I'm at my peak, that's what I want. I want like some raunchy bass. I want people saying the right words in my ears, and just kind of like, I just want to float off into space and just be like, you know, like, that's the prime. That's the prime shit right there.
bait space.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's most often if I'm like consuming porn, it's all pure audio. Like, I don't really need the visual as much lately. Like,
yeah,
what are you listening to?
I like the induced priapism stuff. I honestly make a lot of my own stuff to listen to, because I'm just like, oh, then I can be very specific with what's happening and where I'm going.
So you're more into like the storytelling than just like the verbal chanting kind of thing?
I think it's both, you know. I honestly know too, like, I like Chicago big like house music nightlife cities. So we get a lot of crazy DJs here and go to New York, and it's always a gag when like some like queer DJ just like drops a bait track in the middle of like the dance set.
I love that,
because it's like, I know this one.
all the baiters perk up. They're just like, yeah, this sounds really familiar.
That's so funny. That people were talking about in their intro videos, like they want to be part of a bait fraternity. You know what I want? I want like a dance club that has like regular bait sessions, and they have like that kind of atmosphere to it. Because for me, I'm like a little bit of a club kid. You know, I love my house music. I love my techno. I love my drum and bass and all that stuff. But I love baiting. Mixing those two, oh, I would never leave that club, honey. That would be my house now.
I mean, just imagine like a sea of people and like just music, and I just see like glow in the dark, and people have their dicks out, and they're just like dancing and masturbating. Like, that's fun. Like, I've never been to that. Maybe I'm going to the wrong sex parties, but I feel like if I wanted to be what I needed to be, I have to curate it myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's gonna be the most amazing thing that you could possibly make it be. I have a bunch of production skill, but like, I just feel like I need the right resources. I guess I'm talking to the two because I got the I got the music. Well, I was gonna say, like, Chicago has really great house music. Like, it has such a rich history of like music. I would love to go and like experiment.
Chicago was the origin of a lot of different kinds of house music, wasn't it?
I feel like it's the birthplace, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, there's like Detroit and Chicago are the big ones.
Yeah, Detroit was the other one. Okay, yeah. Cool.
I've been listening to a lot of like 90s house, like LaBouche. Do you guys know LaBouche?
Love LaBouche.
Do you really know who that is? Google now. My God. That's like my age. It's like such 90s house music. And also too, like CC Penison, Crystal Waters.
Oh yeah.
You know it, see, okay.
See, but I love that. Because it's like, for me, I love stuff that's like retro future stuff, where they take inspiration from the 80s and the 90s, especially with house music. There's artists like Chami, which I'm sure you've heard of. He did one like The Call that's got like it's very 90s. It's got the big piano stabs, but it's just this really super modern, like there's a raunchy sub bass to it. All the drums hit really hard. It's something that, like, you know, they couldn't have done back then because they didn't have the production techniques we have now. But like, it's just, it gets me in that headspace, and I'm like,
I'm definitely curious, like, in cultivating that kind of space you're describing, like, beastly, because like, I definitely know, like, there's definitely sexy raves that happen, right, where people like have this like shared experience, and then everyone like stops fucking and just like sings out to Crystal Waters, right? But like, I'd be interested to like see how that kind of scene looks in like a beta space where like we are so tuned into this like hypnotic, trancey kind of like sexuality. And like, I don't know, I feel like the point of any community, right, is like to build those relationships, because that's the revolutionary act, right, is like building the relationships that like get shit done. So I'd be very curious, like, how, you know, especially because I feel like baiters are like so many different types of people, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All over every kind of spectrum you can imagine.
Yeah. But it's like, we're all connected to this shared experience, which is like masturbation. Maybe not shared experience, but like we're all connected through this act, right? Which is really always so special. It's always so nice to like talk about it.
It's a really unique experience because in a way it's sort of turning yourself into pornography, but also with a level of intimacy still involved that doesn't make it a pure act of lust. There's a level of intimacy of like, I'm giving you my full self and my most uninhibited state. And that's a level of intimate that pornography doesn't really capture in and of itself. And I think that's one of the reasons it speaks to so many people.
Yeah, it's like a moment of like seeing each other for who we really are, right?
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
This like naked moment of just like, I know who you are, like I see you, like we're feeling this pleasure mutually, exclusively through like this moment, right? It's all
You get to like a place where you're like, you almost feel like you can feel what the other person is experiencing.
Yeah.
And I don't get that with like regular porn, or, you know, with sex sometimes. I'm like, you know, it's like, it's good, but I don't need it. I'd rather show you my true self and you show me your true self. And if they combine in a way that involves intercourse, that's great. But like, we don't have to, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm curious, like, I know like both of y'all are like pure baiters and like do fuck and like have like other sorts of sex, right? Like, do you find that sex with other, like when you do fuck, the sex with other baiters is different? Or
so for me personally, I get the urge to top maybe once every 4 months. Like, I don't I never bottom, period. That does not happen. But like when I do, the sex with baiters is definitely different because it involves a level of like I said earlier, we already know each other's very intimate, like there's no shame involved in like exposing our kinks to each other. We both know the kind of noises we make, the kind of verbal chanting we want, the headspace that we're both in. So there is a level of like it does feel more intimate to have sex with someone that you've had that kind of exposure with.
Yeah, I think there's a level of like a certain kind of safety that I feel with other baiters, because we feel like we understand each other on this different level for sure. I'm on the same with Mutt. Like I'm very much a dom top. So when I do seek out, I'm very intentional with my sex. So like it at a moment where I'm very horny, I know that I want to fuck. Like that's exactly what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Because I masturbate. Like that's really is like even when I am. Or when people are searching for my sex, like the first thing that I propose is always masturbation.
Yeah.
And that's always kind of like a nice, like anytime someone hits me up on Grindr, they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, jerking. Like that's such like a conversation starter to me, because it's just like, it opens up this like accessible sexual thing that you're eventually going to happen. But it's always different on Bait World, because on Bait World, it's always just like, what's up, baiter? How's the bait? Like, what are you doing now? And it's always much more of a friendly conversation. It's home, right? Are you excited for the rest of the challenges to come out? I saw the one with the toy and your fit looks so cool, girlfriend. I think you have like those cool glasses, the sunglasses. Yeah. It was just a vibe. What was the inspiration behind that one?
I think with that one, I heard the challenges make love. So I wanted it to be like very like sensual, steamy. I bring in the candles again, because it's like, because I feel like when your girlfriend masturbates, she always lights the candles and puts on like the smooth R&B, right? Like that's
I love that.
That's her thing. I like it.
But yeah, I don't know. It's so many of these challenges. I definitely just thought about like, how can I make this like look good? It doesn't even need to look sexy. I just want it to like be pleasing.
So, yeah, like the aesthetic of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I mean, even that, did you create that artwork in the background?
Oh, behind you? Yeah.
I've been kind of glued to that the whole time. Just like,
me too. Just like, what is that? I'm like trying to figure out.
Very clowny. It's like a party decoration I got from the dollar store that I just like strung up in a weird way.
No,
it's cool. No, I love it. I can, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're presenting like this artistic, aesthetic, which is really cool. Who else is really interesting? It's Cocky Prince.
Mm-hmm.
I like their kind of like aesthetic, because it's so kawaii, and I mentioned that to him. It's very like Japanese, very colorful, very like digital,
vibrant
space.
Yeah,
which I find really exciting. Yeah, everyone's doing so well.
My friend described Cocky style as very like TikTok friendly, where it's when we live in an age of like rapid digital media, it's very that. It's very, you know, but it's interesting too to see the kind of different aesthetic styles people have, where Colby is very like the boy next door kind of a vibe. Like, you know, you'd walk in on him doing that and he wouldn't even pause. He'd just expect you to walk right up and wouldn't say anything, like, and just keep doing what he's doing. It's very, and then your girlfriend, she's very like artsy, heady, like you said, evocative. It's, you know, I got my little dumb dog thing. I'll come sleep at the foot of your bed, and then maybe in the middle of the night you wake up and I'm just going at it.
that's what I'm saying. Like, it's so great, because it's like you can like everyone has like their own flavor.
Yeah,
there's something in this for everyone, right?
Yeah
and I think that's really exciting.
I will say the only thing I wish with the bait off we could have done our own music and audio production for it, because I am such a music is such an integral part of my thing, because I want the whole experience to be kind of hypnotic and mesmerizing, honestly. It's not the same kind of art that someone like your girlfriend would do, but for me it's very much like a raunchy kind of mesmerizing, like I described earlier, that like clubby baiter vibe.
Yeah. Well, wait, were you not allowed to create your own music for the videos?
Not this time. I know, I made like a whole album worth of music for each of the challenges, and then I was
you
like,
should put that album up.
I've been on my fan sites, I've been putting out the music edits of challenges. So the world will see it. It'll be in, I've also been like working on the tracks too to kind of present like a different journey, so when I mix them all together it's like the full cycle, right?
Yeah,
I love that. No, I am excited to show the rest of the challenges too, by the way. I never got to answer that one.
No, I think it's great. I think everyone's doing so well. I love these series. I just feel like it's such a great way to let others see how much fun masturbation can be, other than just kind of like lying in bed, pulling the badge and like getting off in a couple of minutes, but really make it like an experience. And you know, I try to tell that with my clients. I do a lot of like bait and text coaching, and people always just like, yeah, I did it just to get off and have this fun thing. But I'm just like, okay, but what are you doing for yourself? Like, how are you making this an experience? Because I feel like our bodies are much more capable of doing really interesting things
than just like, how are you elevating it to self-care? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, it's definitely self-care. And I think that's just a perspective that I take, because masturbation came to me at a time in my life where I was really needed it, like as a term of self-care. Like, it just really, it was a way for me to take back my own sexual power, rather than having that be validated externally. I think that I was at a point in my life where I was like, why am I asking people all this random shit when I could just give it to myself? And it became its own practice.
And that phrase alone applies to so many other parts of your life, but most people don't think to apply it to sex. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can give yourself all the pleasure you could ever want through this kind of thing, and use it to accept yourself and to like let other people in, you know, because it's easier to let people in when you are accepting of yourself and you love yourself and you take care of yourself.
Preach. Yeah. That is so wise. And no, but it's so true though, because when you're so self-confident in who you are, like, again, you're giving this validation to yourself, and so you're able to share it more freely with others and not doubt it so much. And I think that was coming from a place of doubt, where it was just like, oh, I don't even know what this could be. And you're just like, well, make it something extraordinary. Yeah. So like, what do you envision for yourself for the future in terms of like baiterness? Like, How do you want to grow and evolve and like share the good word?
Yeah, I think just making more of like what Bayer was describing, like these more multimedia, these more expansive like works of like Bayer art, right? Like really put out more things that let people explore these different headspaces. Hope to continue Gooner clowning. I just did like my first like big sexy clown show in New York recently,
you post a picture of that on Twitter?
Yeah
it was Wait, really
tell
cool.
Us about that. What was that about? How did that go down?
Yeah, so I got invited to perform at this clown themed sex party. It's a sex party that happens regularly in New York called Inferno, one of the best. But yeah, this particular one, they made clown themed and they invited me to perform. So
nice. Yeah,
I got to do my full clown act, and I also got to do it like in a very like sex positive, like people are fucking space.
And,
like, it's very interesting because like clown is sort of these one communities where you find that like some people stand on the issue that like all clown should be family friendly and appropriate for children.
Kind of like how people see drag.
Yeah, totally. Whereas, like, there's definitely people who are like, it's clown should represent the whole human experience. It's the whole point of it is, like, to let go and, like, express these, like, hyperbolic things, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But even when, like, you're in a space that's, like, you can be more, like, liberated with your clowning, it's still not sex, right? It's still just, like, joking around with, like, sexual material. Whereas this was, like, very different because, like, for this show, I'm like, yeah, like making gags out of like self-pleasure. And like, so for the show I did, it was like, the whole setup was like, I try to sit on this giant clown shoe and like shove it up my ass and it doesn't work. So then I'm like, oh God, it didn't work. Oh no, it didn't work. So then the whole rest of the show is getting the crowd to hype me back up so I can like do it again successfully. You know, you start with a loss and you lead up to a win with a lot of clown work.
Nice.
So, for example,
were you
like
successful?
Oh yeah, she did it. She did it.
Nice.
But like, you know,
did that.
A lot of the show was just like me like inviting audience members like to try and assist me with like this like insurmountable task that it was like faced with me, and like just sharing like my triumph and sharing like my defeats like and those like emotions like with the crowd. So like, for example, I was like, okay, I think my hole will be more gaped if someone blows me right now. So then I need someone in the audience to raise their hand who's gonna blow me. So then I bring someone on stage and they like go down to suck my dick. I'm like, do I need to teach you how to blow meat? That's not how you do it. And I get a bubble wand, shove it up my ass, and then they blow me. So yeah, that's just a taste of what your girlfriend's clowning could be. I hope to like develop that more, and like
I need to see this show live.
Yeah.
this sounds really cool.
But like, I don't know, I feel like baiting, especially for like the Gunner folks, like it's so theatrical, it's so like captivating. Yeah. There's like such an intense energy people can find within themselves and really transmit to an audience like so freely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like really expressive. Mm-hmm. This has so much material to work with. Mm-hmm. I feel like Bait World should hold like a convention and like invite you. You Mutt can spin and then you can do like your clown show. That'd be so much fun.
Yeah.
I'm gonna talk to the Bait World people.
I'm down for a baiter convention. I think that would be super
cool. I think that'd be so much fun. Like just invite a bunch of baiters over and like have it be like this thing. Or be a
drag
part
con
of like
for Gooners.
That's what I was gonna say. Like have our own like booth at drag con. Yeah, Trixie and Katya are both Gooners for sure. Or we can go to like the big porno one. What's it called? AVN? I don't know. There's like a big convention that travels around, and we could have like a booth there. I think it'd be really exciting. I think that's the one thing that I feel like is missing from our community is more like in-house presence. Like,
yeah,
this is who we are. We're real people. Like, come talk to us. Like, find out what we do.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think of baiters as like these guys who just like never leave their the room. House. Yeah, and just exactly. In their goon caves 24/7. I'm like, no, especially if you're doing it in a healthy, like life affirming way. You're not. You're going out and you're doing stuff and you're living your life too, and that's how you should be doing it.
Exactly, but you're also masturbated like in public, which you all do. Well, how is that, by the way? I always get a lot of anxiety with masturbating in public.
I go out to a gay bar for pup night, and because I'm like kind of a name in Phoenix now, I always have
there?
There's an area in the bar that's kind of off the view of the main area, and people will I've seen somebody get fisted there, I've seen gangbangs there, I've seen so like me getting jerked off is not that surprising. But I've definitely, and I mean I've had like a drink or two by this point. I'm probably a little bit stoned and people are getting handsy and Bader Mutt takes over and I'm just like, call me a good boy. Yeah, this is hot. You know, it's very fun.
That brings back a lot of memories. I remember going to the Eagle in New York, and you go upstairs. I think it's three floors or four. I don't know. But there was like a little space, like a little crawl space, like that was hidden. Mm-hmm. And anytime you wanted to have sex, you would just go back there, and people were just like going down and getting pounded in the bathrooms too. Just sex all over the place. Love it.
Your girlfriend loves a good dark room. Loves a good cruising space. And like honestly, that's sometimes where I have like the best like baiter scenes, and it's just like a stranger I met that night, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
sometimes like the chaos of it all, I think like lets people like really like let their barriers down to like really connect with like another person, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm also really, really into the glory hole bait sesh. Those are always.
Are you?
Those are so good. Oh my god! Because then it's all you see, and so it's all you have to think about. You know, they could be doing whatever they want back there, and you're just right there, just
focus on.
Oh things. God, yeah, it's so nice, especially when I'm in puppy head space. I'm just like, yeah, gotta worship. Arf.
That's amazing. I like that. Wait, do you have a glory hole in your own setup at home?
No, I wish I did, but there are some in the local Flex spa that we have here in Phoenix. I was just thinking about like that too, the future of Bader Mutt after the bait off and everything. I think what I'm going to end up doing is not only starting these like local bait groups and stuff and trying to make it a regular, consistent, organized thing for people, is also just continuing like education for people, you know, reaching out to publications and YouTubers and all that kind of stuff that do kink and sex work and explaining it to them. And, you know, bringing it to a wider audience is a big part of my thing, is I want it to be a mainstream, normalized part of sex and kink in general. Yeah. Because like even with my work in the local leather community, when I first went, they kind of scoffed at it. Not all of them, I don't want to, you know, no dirt on their name, but there were a couple of people who like scoffed and were like, this is just jerking off, I can do that just fine on my own. And I'm like, can you? Are you sure about that? you know, like
it's like, yeah, but are you good at it?
Yeah, I'm sorry, are you 6 hours in, like chanting penis and like coming buckets every time, or are you just like working one out in the morning? But you know, no shame on people doing their quickies, it's just fine too. But I think for me it's going to be a lot of community work and just facilitating building a group of people, of pups, reaching out to furries more, getting them more involved, because there are a lot of furry baiters and gooners that honestly don't interact with the like regular baiter and gooner community as much. I always find that really interesting.
I find it a little surprising. I would think that you'd find a lot of pup and furries in the baiter community.
Well, because it's so art focused, right? And art is a very like digital media form. It is more common to see those kinds of gooners and baiters specifically like staying indoors a lot more and having their screens and having their furry art doing their thing. But it's been really cool for me, even just in Phoenix alone, I've met a bunch of other like furries and pups that are super into that kind of thing. And I've been able to show them, like, you can have that experience with other people. You can find people who have the same taste in art, the same like mental kinks that you have, and use that as your, you know, your showing off what you really like and who you really are and what you're really into. It doesn't always have to be you have to be super into the physical form of someone. You can be into all that other part and, you know, bond through that too.
You should host like just like sessions.
Oh, like, I have my own little community where I do stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Well, can I get invited?
Yeah, of course. Stuff's all on Discord. I'm a little Discord puppy. I'm always on the computer. I'm always here.
I would love to learn. I really do want to get more involved in like the pup community. Like, I find it really interesting and sexy, especially now that I'm like doing it with this this young pup. So I feel like that could really add another level to my bait game for sure.
I always get such a thrill out of like introducing people to the community and stuff like that. Like it is very, it's arousing, but also just mentally stimulating to be able to be like, yeah, this is how all this works, this is how a pup hierarchy works, this is how you can facilitate a headspace for a puppy, like, you know, stuff like that.
That's
how you be a handler.
A beta master.
A beta master.
Hello, beta puppy master. Welcome to my master class.
Oh god.
Well, I was gonna say, like, I feel like I could learn a lot from being a clown too, because I feel like I'm so self-aware in my own head. I can get really trapped in here versus like just being really silly and comical and like letting loose and like really just kind of like showing off and not caring about what your body looks like or like, you know, being a certain way. Like, how liberating is that for you?
I would totally recommend like any sort of like theater or clowning work to like baiters who like want to take it deeper. You know, because like it's not about not being self-aware, it's about being self-aware and loving it.
Yeah,
because like definitely. You're not just being chaotic and like messy, you're being very calculated and very like intentional without trying too hard. And it's about like, I'm gonna try this stuff out and I'm gonna have no attachment to how it turns out, right? Like it could be good, it could be bad, but like if it gets a good reaction, then like that's all I care about.
Yeah. It's about like managing your expectations for yourself while still being self-aware enough to know that like not everything's going to go exactly how you want it, and you can still enjoy it anyway.
I feel like, you know, but I think it's that thing where it's like you're your own worst enemy. You know, you get in your way and you're just like, bro, like it's fucking masturbation, like just get out of your way.
Totally.
No, but it's been fun so far. But yeah, I find myself learning brand new things all the time, and it's really exciting for me.
You picked the two most identity focused baiters to put on the same podcast for this one, which was you're gonna learn a lot on this one.
Oh my god, it's like you're a master of programming.
Oh my god. Program me harder, daddy.
You're making me blush. I just felt like you both would have like such a distinct point of view to it because you're both so different in your styles. So I thought this would be a really interesting conversation, which is really great. I would love to go to Phoenix and hang out with a bunch of pups, and I would love to go to Chicago and like dance the house down
and go to one of those gooning clown shows.
I want to go to your gooning clown show because I really want to see that foot up your ass. I want to see if she did it. I need proof.
I need the receipt. You might see something even crazier, never before seen.
Oh, perfect. Arf. I can't wait.
Always innovative, always expanding.
Yeah, this is a really fun convo. I really enjoyed talking to you both.
Likewise.
I wish you both so much success on the beta off. You both are doing so great. I look forward to the Zoom sessions that Coach has, because those are really fun. And shout out to Bakeworld for having you both on there and showing off your beautiful sex.
Yeah, it's so much fun, and I'm so glad to be invited to participate. And it's such a cool opportunity to meet so many interesting people, to be showcased to so many people that are reaching out to me and making friends through that and all this other stuff. I'm just really grateful for it, honestly.
Yeah, it's so nice, really, though. Yeah,
really feeling the gratitude, like, even just like thinking back to like, oh, what kind of beta was your girlfriend 1 year ago? Starkly different. And like, yeah, I mean, I definitely knew it was going to be a lot of fun, but like, I definitely was very pleased with how challenging it was. Like, each of the challenges, like, there were definitely times where I was like, how am I gonna do this one now? And like, sometimes, like, yeah, just like having, it was sort of like each challenge got easier because I had less energy to put into each of them after that. So I just couldn't hold myself back. I'm just like, this is the show. This is what we're running with. We're doing it.
Yeah, it is very that. Yeah. And it's honestly almost a competition in name only. Like, I see it more as a showcase of like, this is what all these people do. This is who they are. And people vote on it. But you take that away and it's really just like this cohesive art piece of a bunch of people brought together to show off, you know, show themselves.
I totally agree. I remember having that conversation with Coach and just being like, I think it's just like a way to just like showcase these really amazing people, like our own subculture and like the grand culture of like sex, right? Like, it's our own thing, it's our own niche community, and it's our own way of like sexual expression, which is always so great to see.
And it also incentivizes people to make more beta content and to get into it, and you be your own porn kind of a thing. And like, I really dig that. I dig that it gets more people into it.
Yeah, it feels very beta to be like giving and adding to the showcase rather than like, it doesn't feel like a competition at all. Like, because I don't feel like any less, right? I just feel like I'm happy to get to add to the swirl of it all, you know?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Where can people find you? I want you both to sound off all the cool things that you're doing.
Yeah, so y'all can follow me. I've got Instagram at Your Girlfriend Is My Bud, or Twitter at Temper Tantric. I'm also got a fan site on Just For Fans at under Your Girlfriend. And yeah, can't wait to update y'all on more sexy clown things, sexy music things, and future Bader Gunner stuff.
Hell yeah. Arf.
And you can find me at Batermutt on pretty much every social media site you can think of, except maybe TikTok. I got a Just For Fans, Twitter at Batermutt. Baitworld's also Batermutt. I've got a Reddit. I've got a Discord server. If you want to throw in a link tree, just slash Batermutt at the end of it, you can find pretty much every single social media I'm on, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Telegram even. Yeah, it's pretty easy to find me.
Nice. Amazing. Well, thanks again, both of you, for taking the time to chat. I learned so much in this conversation. Again, you can catch both of them on the Bait Off series from Bait World. Make sure you put your votes in, but just go enjoy it. Go catch their buttholes up in the air.
My hypnotic hole. Oh my God.
You both have beautiful buttholes, by the way. Just want to let you know.
Thank you.
You're welcome.